Well, on the one hand, because of the total lack of being in his presence, and on the other hand, because there were already thoroughly crystallized in him those consequences of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer called vanity, self-love, swaggering, and so forth, this mama's and papa's darling, having become a learned being of new formation, had the ambition to be considered a famous scientist, not only among the beings of Nievia, but also over the whole of the surface of their planet. So, with all his presence, he dreamed and ruminated about how he could attain this. He spent many days in serious thought, and finally decided, first of all, to invent a theory about some question nobody before him had ever touched upon, and then to inscribe this invention of his upon a kashiratlir, the likes of which had never been inscribed upon before, nor ever could be in the future. And from that day on, he set to work to carry out that decision of his. With the help of his many slaves, he first prepared such a kashiratlir as had never existed before. In those days, on the planet Earth, they were usually made from one or another part of the hide of a quadruped being called buffalo. But Lentra Hampsonen made his from 100 buffalo hides joined together. By the way, kashiratlirs were later replaced by what is called parchment. Well, when this unprecedented kashiratlir was ready, the future great Lentro Hampsonen inscribed upon it his invention concerning a question that indeed had never entered anybody's head before, nor was there any reason why it should have. That is to say, in these wiseacrings of his, he criticized in every way the existing order of society. This kashiratlir began thus. Man's greatest happiness consists in not depending on any other person, whoever it may be, and in being free from the influence of anyone, whatever. Some other time, my boy, I will explain to you how your favorites on the planet Earth generally understand freedom. The inscription of this future universal hasnamus went on as follows. Undeniably, life under the present state organization is far better for us than it used to be. But where is that real freedom which alone could bring us happiness? Do we not labor and toil as much now as we did under any former state organization? Do we not have to sweat and toil to get enough barley to keep us alive and not starve to death like chained dogs? Our lords and masters and pastors are always harping upon some other world, supposedly so much better than this one, where life will be blissful in every respect for the souls of those men who have lived worthily here on earth. In what way do we live unworthily now? Don't we slave all day long to earn our daily bread by the sweat of our brow? If all that our masters and pastors tell us is true, and if their own way of living here on earth really corresponds to what is required of their souls for the other world, surely God ought to and even must give them more possibilities in this world than to us ordinary mortals. If everything is really true that our leaders and counselors tell us and try to make us believe, let them prove it to us ordinary mortals, by facts. Let them prove it to us, for instance, by changing a pinch of common sand into bread, the very sand where we toil to make the barley grow for our daily bread. Let our present leaders and counselors do this, and I will be the first to fall on my knees and kiss their feet. But meanwhile, things being as they are, we ourselves must struggle, and we ourselves must strive for our real happiness and true freedom, and liberate ourselves from the need to toil and sweat. True, for 8 months of the year we have no trouble in obtaining our daily bread, but how we must toil and work ourselves to the bone during those 4 summer months to raise the barley we need. Only he who sows and reaps the barley knows what hard labor it takes. True it is that for 8 months we are free, but from physical labors only. But our consciousness, namely our dearest and highest part, is the slave, day and night, of these chimerical ideas, always being dinned into us by our masters and pastors. No, enough. We ourselves, without our present leaders and counselors, who become such without our consent, must strive for our real freedom and our real happiness. And we can obtain real freedom and happiness only if we all act as one, that is, all for one and one for all. But first, we must destroy everything that is old. And we must do this to make room for the new life we ourselves shall create, which will give us real freedom and happiness. Down with dependence on others. We ourselves will be the masters of our own destiny and will no longer accept as masters those who rule our lives without consulting us and without our consent. Our lives must be governed and guided by those whom we shall elect from our midst, that is, from those who themselves toil for their daily bread. And we must elect these governors and leaders on the basis of equal rights, without distinction of sex or age, by universal, direct, equal, and open ballot. Thus ended that famous Kashirat Lear.